From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello everyone, I'm Michael Karasik, and this week we are reading Parshat Bamidbar, beginning the book of Numbers and reading all the way through chapter 4, verse 20. Here's how the book of Numbers begins. On the first day of the second month, in the second year following the exodus from the land of Egypt, the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting, saying, "Take a census of the whole Israelite community by the clans of its ancestral houses." And there's a little bit more of the chapter on the handout for you. The ancestral houses in this context are the tribes, the 12 tribes, and I have skipped over the names of the men from the various tribes in the handout, but this is, of course, as I've said many times on the podcast, the book of Numbers is the book of the tribes. This is the first of many lists of the 12 tribes, and often of the 12 men who lead them in these contexts. This is even not the only census in the book of Numbers. There will be another one, and I want to jump right down to verse 17. After the tribal leaders are listed, and read, "So Moses and Aaron took those men who were designated by name, and on the first day of the second month they convoked the whole community who were registered by the clans of their ancestral houses, the names of those aged 20 years and over being listed head by head." And the unusual word that started me on the journey we're going to take on the podcast this week is in verse 18. It's translated by JPS as "who were registered." The Hebrew word is vayit yaldu, and they were something. The root is yud lamed dalad, which according to the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon occurs about 600 times in the Bible. But it is in the hitpael binyan. Some of you know that Semitic roots can take various shapes. Traditionally, the standard description says that there are 7 different binyanim, or structures, into which you can put each root. And these structures do something kind that can be described as what we do in English by putting various prefixes on the verb. That's one thing that they do. And hitpael is not at all one of the unusual and strange binyanim that you sometimes find in the Bible that annoy my biblical Hebrew students. It's very, very standard, but yud lamed dalet occurs in the hitpael only once, and that is here in Numbers 1:18. The Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon says, with that little dagger at the end, not of the whole entry, but of the hitpael entry, to tell you we're giving you all of the possible examples. It is a denominative verb to have one's name put down on the family list. And presumably the denominative aspect of it, meaning it's a verb that comes from a noun, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me in this context. Yud lamed dalet is a verb's verb if there ever was one. But they put in their dictionary entry asterisk sefer toladot. That's how you have your put. That's the family list on which you put your name down, and you are then acknowledged. What is a sefer toladot? Well, it has an asterisk on it because that expression does not occur as written anywhere in the Bible. It does occur once in the Bible in construct form in Genesis 5:1. This is the sefer toledot of Adam. I don't know exactly what kind of record keeping was going on in Adam's day. Let's turn to Jacob Milgram, who did the Numbers volume for the JPS Torah commentary. He says Hebrew Vayit Yaladu means they declared their lineage according to their household and clans. The phrase occurs only here and is so understood by Targum Onkelos, the traditional, the standard Aramaic translation of the Bible, and Targum Jonathan, which use the verb hityaches. You can read more of Milgram on the handout. Here's Baruch Levine in the Anchor Bible commentary to Numbers. He and Milgram switched off. They each did Leviticus in one series, and then they traded series for the book of Numbers. Here's Levine. The form Vayit Yaldu is unique to this passage and connotes something like registering one's own genealogy. This verbal form is not pointed as a hit pa'el, but rather in a manner similar to the classical Aramaic hit pe'el. In all honesty, I'm not sure what makes him say that. A later expression for the same process is Vayit Yachasu. They registered their genealogies from Ezra 2. We will come back to that word that I've already read to you twice. Rashi says, quoting the old JPS translation, they declared their pedigrees, having brought forward records and witnesses to the legitimacy of their birth, to connect each and every one of them to a particular tribe. Ibn Ezra says they were asked when they had been born, because don't forget the context here is counting the men who are 20 and over. Then their pedigrees, again quoting the old JPS translation, were recorded. Nachmanides argues a bit with Rashi, and he says at the end of his comment in parentheses, as I translated him for the commentator's Bible, see also the comment of Ibn Ezra. He loves to wax loud when he complains about Ibn Ezra, but when he agrees with Ibn Ezra, he just kind of winks in his direction and does not give him a lot of honor. Nachmanides describes this as saying, everyone brought his shekel and declared before Moses and the chieftains, I so-and-so was born to so-and-so of the such-and-such clan belonging to the tribe of Reuben, or whatever tribe it was. Moses put each tribe's shekels in a particular spot, and therefore he knew the subtotals as well as the complete total. Don't forget that this is being connected with the command to take a census back in the book of Exodus, where you do it by everyone bringing a half shekel to contribute to the tabernacle. And again, there's more of Nachmanides on the handout for you. But what led me to this verse and to this subject today is an article by a man named Avi Horvitz, who teaches, he must be retired by now, taught at the Hebrew University. He did teach two courses at Brandeis while I was there, and he has, I don't suppose, any memory of me whatsoever, but I have very vivid memories of him, and he opened my eyes to a lot of things in the study of the Bible. He says this in an article called Terminological Modifications in Biblical genealogical Records and Their Potential Chronological Implications, from a 2013 book called Hebrew in the Second Temple Period, edited by Stephen Fassberg. Horvitz says it's widely recognized in biblical scholarship that the exiles who returned to Zion developed a profound interest in pedigree and genealogies, which became a distinctive hallmark of Second Temple period literature. An open, still intensely debated question in this connection concerns whether and to what extent we are able to identify within biblical literature genuinely ancient documents pertaining to ancestry and lineage, that is, texts based on authentic First Temple records. But the linguistic and philological aspect of such texts has been largely neglected, and that's what Horvitz says he will do in his article. And he's going to look at three different idioms in the distinctive vocabulary of the biblical genealogical registers and comparable material. Number one, derivations of the root yud, chet, sin to register or be genealogically registered. Yachas gives us the Yiddish word yichus, right? You are connected because you have important ancestry. Number two, the age formula from N and upwards, as in our text, mi N ulamala, and the forms of the third masculine plural possessive suffix of the word avot. Avot, literally the plural of fathers. Their fathers are their ancestors, and their ancestral houses is Beit Avotam or Beit Avotehem. That suffix can take two different forms. Well, I've talked about Horvitz a couple of times before on the podcast. I will link to a series on late biblical Hebrew that I wrote on my Bible Guy blog, but he uses very careful methodology to find which texts are written in post-exilic Hebrew rather than in classical biblical Hebrew. And our verse, Numbers 1:18, with Vayit Yaldu, actually has two of the three things he's talking about this in this context, and Vayit Yaldu itself also is connected because it is related, as you heard Levine and Milgram both say, to Lehit Yaches, to be connected and to be genealogically connected. Let's turn first, however, to Avotam, their ancestors, in our context, their ancestral houses. In Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles, and only two or three times earlier in the Bible, but 30 times in those books from the Persian period, you find not Avotam, like in our chapter, but their ancestors is Avotehem. It's kind of a double plural ending, and the double plural, maybe I'll talk about this another time, the double plural seems to be something that they got more into in late biblical Hebrew. Again, not Avotehem, ot is already a plural ending, then te is another plural ending, and then the hem, but Avotam, the old-fashioned classical biblical Hebrew ending. How about from 20 years and up? Mi ben Esrim, from age 20, shana, Esrim shana, 20 years, va mala, and up. But in Chronicles, the expression is mi ben Esrim shana u le mala. And part of Horvitz's methodology is to show you, if he can, where this new form entered the language from. Definitely he wants to show you that it is found only or predominantly in later texts, and that the predominant usage continues into post-biblical literature, whereas in earlier parts of the Bible, there's a way to say it differently than this new form, Avotam rather than Avotehem, mi ben esrim shana va mala, and up, rather than ulmala, and upwards, and to up. so to speak. And what about Vayityaldu, our interesting word? How does that connect with Yachas? Really, the normal way to say that in pre-late, pre-exilic Hebrew is with the root Pei Kuf Dalad. It's a word that, a root that is used to maintain record keeping. And lifkudehem and other forms of the root pekuf dalad occur dozens of times in our parasha and even just in chapter 1, so much so that the book of Numbers, as we call it in English, is really a translation of an alternate Hebrew name for Sefer Bamidbar, not just the first word of the book, but the contents of the book, Sefer HaPikudim. And our word Vayityaldu is actually translated, as Milgram told us, in the Aramaic translation, Ve'ityachasu. And you can see on the bottom of the handout the comparison of the three terms, Vayityaldu, which really would have been something with Pekuf Dalad, Beit Avotam, their ancestral houses, and from 20 years and up. You can see in blue, comparing the Masoretic text on top, underneath it, the Aramaic Targum Onkelos, using the later forms, because Onkelos, the Aramaic translation, of course, is post-biblical, using the late terms that occur actually in late biblical Hebrew and not just in Aramaic. And part of what Hurwitz is doing here by picking these three terms is picking one, a vocabulary word, yachas, two, a grammatical ending, avotehem for theirs rather than avotam, and number three, syntax, from 20 years and up, or 20 years and upward, ulemala. And so he's shown you three different aspects of the language where texts from the Persian period use new forms that just aren't common or don't exist at all in the older texts. And our verse 18 has 2.5 of those forms. If you will let me sneak my half hapax Vayityaldu into the mix. Wishing everyone a Chag Shavuot Sameach. I'll be back with you next week for Parshat Naso. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying thank you for listening.